Crosses, statues, and rosaries. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net/store.
Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
The Science of the Cross by Edith Stein, St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross. Continuing Chapter 15, Section 3, Part A, Point 1. On the Threshold of Eternal Life. St. John of the Cross hesitated to fulfill the plea of his spiritual daughter, who asked for a commentary on the four stanzas of the Living Flame of Love. He felt how incapable language would be to explain what was so spiritual and interior. After some time, however, it appeared to him that the Lord seems to have uncovered some knowledge and bestowed some fervor in him. Indeed, even encouraged him to set to work. Some fervor? One actually has the impression that not only the four stanzas of the song, but the entire explanation as well, are an eruption of the living flame of love. So we approach these divine secrets in the inmost region of a chosen soul with holy awe. But once the veil is lifted, one may not remain silent. For we have before us here what, in the form in which they have come down to us, the ascent and the goal and the night owed us, a view of the soul at the goal of her long way of the cross in blissful union. Earlier it was said that the first writings were obviously composed by someone who had already arrived at the goal. The Song of the Dark Night can hardly be understood in any other way. But in the explanation of the stanzas, he had placed himself back in the time of night and described it as though he were still in God. Did he say anything about the goal? Now, however, he is bathed in the brilliant light of resurrection morning. When he now continues to speak of the cross and night, it is only in retrospect. It is precisely this retrospection that makes the work meaningful and coherent. New life is born out of death. The glory of the resurrection is the reward for faithful endurance through night and cross. Thus, every debt is paid. The soul feels that out of her heart will flow streams of living water, and it seems to her that she is so forcefully transformed in God, so sublimely possessed by Him, and arrayed with such rich gifts and virtues, that she is singularly close to beatitude, so close that only a thin veil separates her from it. When this tender flame of love, which burns within her, seizes her, she is each time as though glorified with gentle and powerful glory, and thinks the veil of earthly life is about to be torn, and only a very little is lacking before she possesses eternal happiness and eternal life. And so she is completely filled with fervent longing and begs to be freed from the veil of mortal life. The living flame of love is the Holy Spirit, quote, whom the soul feels henceforth in herself as a fire which consumes her and transforms her into blissful love, and further, as a fire that burns and flames within her. As often as that flame flares up, it bathes the soul in glory and refreshes her with the quality of divine life. Unquote. The activity of the Holy Spirit in the soul produces an inflamed love in which the will of the soul becomes one single love in union with the divine flame. The transformation in love is the habitus, the lasting condition into which the soul is placed. The fire that burns in her constantly. Her acts, however, quote, are the flames that blaze out of the fire of love, and that burst forth the more vehemently, the more intense the fire of union burns. Unquote. In this condition, the soul cannot make any acts herself. All of them are initiated by the Holy Spirit and brought to completion by Him, and so they are totally divine. Thus it is that it seems to the soul that every time the flame shoots up, eternal life is given to her. For she is raised up to the activity of God in God. By this transformation into a flame of love, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are communicated to her. She comes therein so close to God that she catches a glimmer of the divine life. She has a sensation that this is eternal life. The flame of divine life touches the soul with the tenderness of God's life and wounds her so mightily in her inmost depths that she dissolves wholly in love. How can one speak of wounding here? In actuality, these wounds are like the most tender flares of delicate love. Playfulness of eternal wisdom, these flames of tender touches arising from the fire of love, which is never idle, quicken the soul incessantly. This happens in the inmost region of the soul, where neither the devil nor sensuality can penetrate. Therefore, what occurs is the more secure, substantial, and delightful. Quote, "The more interior it is, the purer. And the greater the purity, the more abundantly, frequently, and generously God communicates himself, and the more intense is the delight and joy of the soul. It is God who does it all. The soul contributes nothing of her own." Unquote. The soul can only act herself with the help of the corporeal senses, and in this state she is totally free and far removed from them. And so she limits herself to one thing, which is receiving from God. He alone can move the soul and complete his work in the depths of her being without the mediation of the senses. So all movements of the soul become divine, are acts of God, yet also acts of the soul. For God works them in her and with her, insofar as she gives her consent and agreement. When the soul says that the Holy Spirit wounds her in her deepest center, she means that there are within her some areas that are not as deep, corresponding to the degrees of the love of God. But now the substance of her being, her power and strength, are touched and grasped. She does not wish to assert that this is as essential and integral as the beatific vision of the next life. She speaks thus only in order, quote, "to manifest the fullness and abundance of the delight and glory she feels in this communication from the Holy Spirit. The delight is so much the more intense and tender, the stronger and more substantially the soul is transformed and concentrated in God. This does not happen here as perfectly as in eternal life. The soul may perhaps possess in this life a habit of charity as perfect as in the next, yet the operation and fruition of charity in this life will not be so perfect." Unquote. But the condition will be so similar to that of life in eternity that the soul, convinced of it, dares to say, "I am wounded in my deepest center." Whoever has no experience may take this as exaggeration. Still, quote, "the Father of lights, whose hand is never shortened, and who dispenses blessings in abundance, does not hesitate to fulfill even in this life, in a soul who has been examined, purged, and tried in the fire of tribulations, and found faithful in love, precisely because of this fidelity, what the Son of God has promised when anyone loves him. The Most Holy Trinity will come and take up their abode in that soul. This taking up their abode consists in divinely enlightening the intellect with the wisdom of the Son, and in filling the will with delight in the Holy Spirit, and absorbing the soul powerfully and mightily in the unfathomed embrace of the Father's love. In the soul in which the living flame of love burns, the Holy Spirit's activity brings about something far greater than the communication and transformation of love. This latter resembles glowing embers. The other is similar to embers that are not merely glowing, but have become so hot that they shoot forth a living flame. Unquote. The simple union of love alone is like the fire of God in Zion, that is, in the church militant, in which the fire of charity is not enkindled to an extreme. The loving union with an inflaming of love is like the furnace of God in Jerusalem, the vision of peace that is the church triumphant, where this fire is like a furnace blazing in the perfection of love. The soul has not yet attained the perfection of heaven, but she is like a blazing furnace in which there is a vision much more peaceful and glorious and tender. The soul feels that this living flame of love vividly communicates to her every good. Therefore she cries out, O flame of living love that tenderly wounds my soul. By which she means to say, quote, O burning love, with your loving movements, you pleasantly glorify me according to the greater capacity and strength of my soul. You give me divine knowledge according to the ability and capacity of my intellect. You give me a love according to the greater power of my will, and fill the substance of my soul with the torrent of your delight through the divine contact and substantial union, in harmony with the greater purity of my substance and the capacity and breadth of my memory. Unquote. When the purgation of all the faculties is complete, then divine wisdom absorbs the soul in itself profoundly, subtly, and sublimely with its divine flame. In this immersion of the soul in wisdom, the Holy Spirit sets in motion the glorious flickering of his flame. It is the same fire which was dark and painful for the soul during her purification. Now, however, it is brilliant, loving, and gentle. This has been taken from The Science of the Cross, translated by Josephine Koppel, OCD, copyright 2003 by the Washington Province of Discalced Carmelites. For more information, contact ICS Publications, 2131 Lincoln Road Northeast, Washington, D.C., 20002, www.icspublications.org, or 1-800-832-8489.
This has been Christian Classics with Teresa Hofer. Listen every Monday through Friday at this time as Teresa continues her great readings and selections from classic Christian literature. Right here on the Ave Maria Radio Network, news and talk for Catholic and other Christians.
I'm Peggy Stanton, and I'm inviting you to join me on Power from the Pews when I interview the people who are engaged in remarkable ministries that are making a real difference in their parishes and the world. That's this Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
Here's a Family Minute with child psychologist Dr. Ray Guarendi from Ave Maria Radio.
Is discipline kind? I asked that question yesterday, didn't I? And I'm going to ask it all this week, because I believe discipline is ultimate.